killing. What the? Yeah. You stop hitting this man?
Oh, told you. 45% staying, that's dead. That was a 15-second combo.
Jesus. Infiltration.
God damn.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Best of Five, a weekly FGC talk show presented by your friends on Twitch. Myself, Efren, Michael Donkashiller, and we have John over there. John?
You okay, John?
John?
No!
What happened, John? Where'd you go? And we also have Ace King Offsuit debuting that new tech. He's got that sweet, sweet green.
Well, that's actually, that's not even his new tech. That's actually his new apartment, right? You live right
on
right.
Yeah, that's your view from your balcony.
Yeah, this is the new Ace King Studios right here.
Just one quick second. Guys, I think we lost John. I'm not sure what happened. He was there during the countdown. Now he's gone. What could it have been?
Well, I heard Manak got a few buffs in season 3, so maybe he's just decided Street Fighter's not for him anymore.
No, but seriously, we need John back. John, John, you think you could John, you think you could come back and join the show?
The last episode of Best of Five.
Oh, God.
John.
Hey, guys.
Hey, dude. John, I guess we could hold off for a second, and you could tell us how that all went down. You were actually at NCR. You were there. You got top 8 in the Ultra tournament.
You did.
Shout-outs to you, buddy. You got.
I wasn't even going to sign up for that. I didn't realize they had a Street Fighter 4 tournament, and I was there just picking up my badge, and they're like, are you playing five? Vicious was like, are you playing five? And I was like, four, and I was like, no, how much is it? $5. Well, the line's nothing right now, and so I signed up, and it was a fun time, much more fun than the Street Fighter V tournament, if I do say so myself.
Hey, you put in some work against Infiltration, and we'll get to that, and you can tell us how that all went down and give us your full report on NCR. We have a guest tonight. It's been a while, but we have a guy, friend of the show. We haven't had him on. We had him that one time on, like,
it's
damn
been
near 2 years ago.
Yeah, literally years.
Different incantation or
incarnation.
Incarnation.
It was a different show. Yeah,
I felt like there was some incantations involved. however, he
to make it work. Yeah,
he has officially opened Super Dojo, Super Arcade, Azusa.
I'm blocking here.
Shout outs to Beats by Noel Brown. Wait, let me get the claps going. You get a Picard. Yes. Yes.
Ooh,
that's very impressive.
The most sought after clap gift.
Thank you. Thank you, Beats. But going back to Watson, we have him on, one, to congratulate him on the opening of his arcade. It's been an ordeal, and he's going to explain to us what went into that. But we're also going to talk to him about this. Has the FGC gone soft? We'll find out.
The one to ask.
In about an hour.
We've had a lot of drama since the CPT started.
Dude, what's going on, man? Unforced, too.
I think they got rid of the no thuggery rule, and now it's just...
Yeah, the thuggery's back.
They open up the thuggery floodgates.
We're up to 15 frames now.
Oh, man.
But as we always do, we'll have a recap. We'll have some other topics to go through. We'll talk about Mena, Kaba Gate. We'll talk about Goichi asking for bans. We'll talk about noise-canceling headphones. We'll talk about all that good stuff and more. But first, we'll have a recap of the weekend's action.
Yeah, let's get started out in the UK with the Gfinity Elite Series. That regular season is winding down. Week 4 out of 5 took place this past weekend. Big win for Envious as they locked up a playoff spot. Hashtag United got their first win of the season. Epsilon and Fnatic getting wins as well. What does that mean for the table? Well, let's take a look. With 1 week to go, Group A, Envious has locked up the top spot. Everyone else still in it for those last two playoff spots. Nordavind and Vitality have the inside track, but they've still got work to do. In Group B, Aries and Fnatic have locked up two of the top three spots. Method and Epsilon will fight it out for that third and final spot next week. Our friends at Anime Ascension had held their tournament this week. This was the anime event run by Axis Games. It had the big three Axis or Arxis games, as well as Dragon Ball FighterZ. They also had the first tournament for BlazBlue Tag. If we take a look at the results there, you see Lost Soul taking it home in DBFZ. Daru Ino coming all the way over to beat Kizzy K for the Xrd title. SKD under the PG banner for the first time, if I remember correctly. He takes BlazBlue. And Loli Maiko, your winner in UNIST. Of course, the big event this weekend was NCR. Let's take a look at the big three, starting with Dragon Ball FighterZ. No big surprise there. Goichi once again showing he's the man to beat, taking it over fellow Japanese player Moke in the grand final. Super Noon, Chris G rounding out the top four. Momochi, you see him tied for fifth. So U.S. able to beat at least one Japanese player this weekend. But it was sort of a rough week for USA versus Asia, and that was kind of a running pattern. If we take a look at Tekken, it was a challenger event on the Tekken World Tour. Korea came over. Korea took our points. They took our cookies. They took our milk. They took everything, man. Saint taking it over Kudans in the grand final. It was a ridiculous grand final, too.
Steve, do you have the stop you right there. What tournament are we looking at here?
We are looking at
I just want to make sure that we are looking at the right graphic and this isn't last week's.
It's just like the calendar, the schedules I make on Twitter. I get one mistake.
I went back and changed it all in our document. I changed it so I can troll Steve now. Jokes on you guys.
And thank you to SendPeasy for subbing.
Thank you, SendPeasy, for subbing. Let us know in the chat what GIF emote you want. You make few and far between mistakes, Steve. But back to it. This is week's results, right?
Yeah. This is NCR. Ignore what you see on the screen. Saint Kudans, 1-2. Kakoma third. JDCR fourth. John Ding tied for fifth. Only lost to Koreans, which means that no Korean player lost to an American in Tekken this weekend. 21-0 in U.S. versus Korea sets. Not a great showing there, but you know there were some close calls. That set that Trungy had was ridiculous. Joey Fury actually took a game off of JDCR in their set, so it was close. It just didn't go the U.S. way. But yeah, Korea continuing their dominance of the Tekken World Tour. And Asia continued that dominance into Street Fighter V, as once again, Tokido proven he's the man right now in that game, winning grand finals over the legend, the beast, lord and savior, depending on your religion, Daigo Umehara. Knuckle do an impressive weekend for him, getting third.
With Cammy.
With Cammy. And we might be seeing a little bit more of that in the future. Justin Wong also making top eight, first time for him in a little bit. You see Mena RD outside the top 12. A little bit of a rough weekend for him for multiple reasons.
Well, we see Ricky at ninth is pretty impressive compared to results we've seen for a little bit. And then one more thing I'd like to note is that Tokido was all but about to lose in pools to Big Bird. I mean, like 100 life lead to nothing. And Big Bird choked. He did the roll kick with Rashida's V skill, thinking he would build him enough meter for the V trigger, and it didn't. And he got punished, you know, half life to kill him. It was quite sad. He definitely should have won that match. I think that would have been Tokido's first pools loss in SF5 history.
I think he might have lost once early in Street Fighter V, but I mean, we're talking about consistency. He hasn't missed a top eight in a Street Fighter V tournament that he's entered since CEO last year.
And from what I understand, that was like his worst result ever at like 17th.
It was, and he actually, I think he got ninth at that event.
Or ninth. I know his worst result ever is in the top 32. And
he's just Mr. Consistency. We talk about this game being random and all of that, and yet this guy is as close to solving it as we may see for a while.
Yeah. Little factoid on that. Before Big Bird played against Tokido on stream, he played against a Monat player just in pools earlier, and I was sitting right next to him playing my match. And the Monat player should have won. The Monat player was in his ass, and he activated Rashid's V-trigger, and all the Monat player, it was V-trigger 1, I believe, and all the Monat player had to do was super it and didn't. But had that Monat player done it, Big Bird would have been lost right there. So he used up his luck beforehand and then lost it immediately after to Tokido. But
yeah. Okay, where were we? Actually, we need to do some claps, guys. Whoops, 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 yes. Whoops, whoops. Wait for it. Let's get some good old doggy claps. There we go. Hey there, poochers. Thank you to everybody who subbed. All right, back to the recap.
Yeah, obviously those three weren't the only games at NCR. You had a bunch of other things going down. Chris G did the Marvel double, winning Infinite and Ultimate Marvel 3. Xiaohai winning KOF, another strong international showing. You had four countries represented in that top eight. Pinoy beating Knuckledew in the Ultra Tournament, which a lot of people were really excited about, including our boy John making top eight. Congratulations to him. Riz won, winning Super Turbo, so he is headed to the Tournament of Legends at Canada Cup. Thanks, Swalot, taking the Pokken title, and Jordy. Yes, we are going to talk about Windjammers. Congratulations to you. You are the Windjammers champion.
Jamming.
God damn it, Mike. Let's take it to John here. John, you were there on the ground. What do you want to talk about? I mean, there's so many things that I could ask you about, from, you know, all the men of shit to, you know, all the different types of tournaments you're in. But what? I'll let you take the floor and just tell us what your impressions were of the tournament.
Well, if you're legitimately asking me and not setting me up to talk about something specific, then I will say
No, I will ask you directly about that in a moment.
Yeah. It was the same NCR that we've been to over and over and over again. And by that, I mean it was the same hotel, the same ballroom. Everything about it ran ship shape. And it was well done. NCR not riddled with problems in the past. Of course, every tournament has their bumps here and there. But this tournament went off wildly without a hitch. I mean, I didn't. Great, cool. Do you want me to talk over this, or should I just appreciate it? You know,
I wasn't gonna do it. I wasn't gonna do it, but then you mentioned it. All right. Anyway, went off without a hitch. Go on.
Yep. And so. It was a good time. There was nothing on you guys' end, you know, like when I, like, there was no Bifutechi errors or anything like that. The streams didn't suck or anything like that. So I think all in all, it's a good tournament. A lot of others you're seeing are like changing venues and leveling up in different ways. And NCR is doing a good job where it's at, staying the course. So all in all, a good 3-day event here. And that's all that happened.
You know, since you mentioned Bifutechi, and it made me think of streamers. Just as offhand comment here, but we saw that people were complaining that Spooky put it in sub mode only for chat. And then I saw in a tweet he was saying that he did that. Yeah, it's hard to do it. It costs money to pull everything off, including traveling, gear, talent, camera, or commentators, all that shit. He puts it on sub mode only, and he gets an extra 200 subs. Right?
He basically said that, you know, he gets some of the worst return of anyone who's viewed as highly as him on Twitch. Sub mode gave him basically close to double the subs he had before. It made the chat less toxic, and he said he doesn't care what anyone thinks. He's going to keep doing it. So there's not much of the discussion there. And frankly, his reasoning is very sound, so I don't disagree with him. You know, like, you can support the guy. You can use your free Twitch Prime sub. You can use $5. Spooky does a real good job. I think it works out.
So I mean, that is the core takeaway, right? Like, good for him, right? But there were some other aspects of it. Sunday's chat had a general attitude of, when is my game coming? Your game is stupid. This is a general theme and not just one person. I find that when the chat is like this, it sours my attitude and affects the stream negatively. But yeah, he went on to the other things that we discussed.
I don't think anyone's really going to blame him for doing that. The one thing that worries me, and not specifically about Spooky, but if he's struggling to get financial success here in streaming. And he's pretty much the biggest FGC streamer outside of like Capcom Fighters and Tekken is the ones directly associated with the publishers. What does that say about everybody else? You know, what does that say about the Bifutekis, the BG Callistos, the Showdown GGs of the world? You know, is there going to be room at the table for these guys? Because if Spooky's relying on subs to get by, how many of those people are also going to be subbing to these guys that do some of the smaller tournaments, some of the regional tournaments?
There's a lot to unpack there, but maybe we save it for a day that we have a streamer on, because I really want to hear how that match with Infiltration went down, John. Back to you, bud.
Oh, cool. We should throw it up on the screen so everyone can watch it so they know what they're following along with.
Throw it up.
You did pretty good, I thought. I'm not even messing around.
Well, I was proud of my ground pounds. I don't have much Monat practice outside of just what goes on online, and Infiltration's slightly better than the people you might meet online. so it was a learning experience for sure. But yeah, I didn't feel completely out of the loop. I think I got a round.
You did,
which was an accomplishment in and of itself. Because I really don't feel comfortable with this game, or and especially against this character. And playing one of the best characters one of the best players in the world was it. Back in the day, it was like, yeah, Infiltration, I'm gonna take him out. And I mean that even happened at Evo a few years ago. But now with where I'm at with Street Fighter V, it's like, oh, I get to play Infiltration. This is great. You know, like I'm gonna see what it's like to play a Monat that's not an online Monat. Instead, it's the best in the world, you know? So that was really cool. And he's such a nice guy. Before the match actually started, we're on, like, the loading screen, and the game's queuing up, and he yells out, like, "Event helps forever!" And it was cool. which is, like, his catchphrase with me. Whenever we see each other, he usually just yells that because it's easier than actually trying to have, like, a English to, you know, Korean kind of conversation and such. So it's like... I don't know. It was a good time, though. I think you mentioned, like, stream nerves, I didn't have really any stream nerves. I tend to play more conservatively when I'm in tournament, and even more so if I'm in tournament and on stream. And I think you saw that there, because a lot of rounds, especially the last one, that went all the way to timeout. But a lot of the rounds would go a lot longer. But I do feel if I had ample time to hash that out and figure that match out, and specifically figure out times... against Infiltration's Monat, I could have done a lot better and maybe one day even win. So, but it was a great experience. I even given the long ass combo that went in there, that I think the whole thing started with just like a jab or a standing light kick or something like that. And the whole thing plays out from there, which was really demoralizing. But with all that, I would rather, if I had to do over again, I would do it again and go through it again, because it's a good time, you know. And that's why you go to these kind of events, is to like get a shot at playing Infiltration or Tokido and Daigo, and I was lucky enough to be one of the people that got that, so I'm thankful.
Now, what was it like playing in those pools where, I mean, it seemed like there was almost no fad in those pools, like you maybe beat one scrub and then you're playing versus, you know, top level players the entire time?
You know, it's weird to me that this happens at NCR, but I feel like, I mean, I'm sure the pools were hard at final round, but they
weren't
like this.
These ones were harder. No, these ones were harder.
And it's like, how did that happen? Because NCR is a big event, continually a premier event, but it's certainly not final round. You know, the event that got, you know, like over 1,000 the first year of Street Fighter V, and it's like the kickoff event, the premier, if you will, for the Pro Tour. So I was surprised that NCR got these kind of names, even though Final Round didn't get the same amount of intensity with its pools matches. But it was incredible. It was kind of the talk of the town a little bit, in that you know like, hey, my first the first match in pools for like Tokido was Tokido and Nephew, the guy that just won Winter Ball, right? And Nephew probably wasn't even one of the big seeded players in that bracket. I don't remember everybody off the top of my head, but you know, you had, like, I think Chris G in there, and I can't remember all off the top of my head. But it was a whole other atmosphere. And we were talking about it after the tournament, just various groups, because it continued to be the subject of discussion. And people were saying things like, you know, going 1-2 in this tournament, that's fine. I mean, you could be a really good player and have gone 1-2 in this tournament, and it really isn't much of a strike against you.
No, not at all. You probably lost two good people if you went 1-2,
right,
yeah.
Right. And so you go... man, is this the future of Street Fighter V fighting games, or I mean Street Fighter V competitive events, or was this kind of a standout anomaly where it just all the good players showed up and there were like, normally there's like one or two good players in a pool, the ones that you expect to get out, maybe three. And if there are three, you go, that's a stacked pool. This one had like five in every pool, except for, ironically enough, the death bracket, which was, I think, the easiest pool to get out
by
of.
By far. Yeah, I saw it.
You had Xiaohai as like the celebrity name in there. And he got, I think he got fourth or fifth. And I don't know if he's practiced up on Street Fighter. I mean, he's a great player across a lot of different fighting games. And I mean, it's well known. But he ended up going out like fourth or fifth in his pool. And then the guys that got out were the San Diego player, right? Trash Boat, the birdie player. And then Doomsnake, the Vega player. And both of those guys did pretty well. So good on them. I don't want to take away things from them for being in like the death pool that should have been harder but was actually easier than everything else. But
I think they got to get rid of that.
So explain to anybody who doesn't know what the death pool is and how you end up in the death pool and all that good stuff.
Right. So 2 years ago, it was NCR's death pool that was, again, the talk of the town. And the way it works is if you sign up for tournaments early, it's easier for everybody. But if you wait till the last minute and emergency register on strike on site, they put you straight into a death pool where they don't do any seating. It's everybody that's late. So your pool may not be 16 people. Your pool might be 32 people. It might be 100 people if, you know, 100 late emergency registrants. But you all get thrown in there. You don't get any kind of preference, and there might be 100 killers if they all end up registering late. And that was kind of the case 2 years ago. And there was the famous Marn run, and he ended up making it out with his Ibuki in the death pool. But he was in there with players like Mago, and I don't remember all who else, but it was a big deal. And he got through that, and that was – it felt like a finals day on day one. But only in this one pool. This time around, the NCR still practiced that where they just threw all the latecomers into the one pool, but everybody registered ahead of time. So every other pool had five killers in it or so, and then this one had Xiaohai, and then that was really probably the only player you would see ranked or seated. And then, you know, the other players emerged in one, and kudos to them. But it was a complete turning on its head of what you would traditionally expect. The death pool was the simplest one, and all the other ones were, in effect, death pools.
I mean, you should get rid of late registration at this point if you don't have a credit. I mean, it's so easy to register on Smash GG. If you don't have a credit or debit card, you should email the TO to see if there's any other way you can do it. It just, either it's going to go the way it did 2 years ago, or it's going to go the way it did this time. And either way, it doesn't really work out very well. And you shouldn't be punished for registering on time. Because, I mean, this makes people want to register late next time. And that's exactly the opposite of what the death pool is supposed to do.
Yeah, and not a lot of – I think we are kind of moving past that in the tournament scene. Just because it's such a headache to last minute try to get these players into a pool. The death pool was like a way to kind of circumvent that. But I think, like you just said, this isn't really something that's working. And a lot of tournaments don't even allow it anymore. You got to sign up by the deadline, and if not, then there's no at-the-door stuff. We're not messing around with that. I think Combo Breaker is still doing emergency registration, but the price gets hiked up to like $100, and then they put you in buy spots. So they put you into the actual pools and stuff. But wouldn't be surprised if we just see, you know, emergency registration continue to dwindle and eventually be gone completely.
The one idea I had, you know, if you want to keep emergency registration, because there is legitimate reasons for people not being able to sign up on time. And yeah, it sucks for the people who are at the top level of the tournament, but that's not the majority of attendees. The one idea I had is that you have your death bracket, and then the top one or top two, whatever, of that death bracket get in placed into a regular pool. So you have 16 pools or 32 or whatever, and then whoever wins the death bracket gets a spot in one of those pools.
Yeah, so you play an extra pool.
Yeah, you basically play an extra level if you sign up late. So you're still punished, but you still have a chance to get games in. You still have a chance to participate, and it doesn't completely screw over the people who have registered on time.
Hey, guys, shout-outs to Richard Wynn for subbing.
Oh, is that what that is?
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Let's talk about, so I mean, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. I actually wanted to get some people's opinions on what Tokido did differently in this set versus the famous first to 10 from not too long ago to come out on top. But of course, the big topic of the hour, and we don't have that much time because we have a guest on tonight, is of course Kaba being loud and quote obnoxious in the ear of Goichi during a tournament match. Potentially causing Goichi to lose that, and him being very upset by it, even though it's been refuted back and forth whether he actually wanted Kaba to be banned or not. The idea was that he wanted him to stop. And you know, well, the first thing I said to you guys is like, well, why? Like, because we were defending. You guys were defending it.
I can say that the official translation at this point is that he didn't say he wanted him to be banned immediately. He said that, you know, like, he should stop, and if he continues to do this, maybe he should be banned. Is the way it was translated by. You know, the Japanese player later.
And my pushback was, well, why doesn't Goichi just turn around and tell him to shut the F up, right? It sounds like he did. Apparently he did turn around and tell him to be quiet, and it didn't take.
Yeah, if you see the video, there is a YouTube video which kind of blew this up of the match. And you see at one point that Goichi, during a critical art, he kind of moves his hand down like this to try and motion, hey, calm down. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. And that's sort of where this whole thing kind of blew up from.
You know, this kind of situation, if you've ever been to a live tournament, this happens all the time. And like, you, even if you've only seen it on stream, maybe you can even hear it. The whole, I don't want to do it, but like, there's like a seagull kind of like scream or screech that people do when things are really intense. And
do
it's
it.
Like
down, no, no, no.
Like
about.
The, yeah, like, you know, and you just hear that randomly. And you can, the first thing I do is compare it to like when an NBA player is shooting free throws, right? And no one can go, hey, shush. The whole place is going crazy. Everyone behind the basket has their thunder sticks trying to distract. Like it's a very distracting environment, and yet they're still forced to perform. And up until this point, that's really been my approach to all of this, especially in Arizona. There's kind of like a running kind of joke that like when you play an Arizona player, you're not just playing the player, you're playing all of Arizona, because everyone will get behind and will get really loud and rowdy and just scream and be obnoxious and basically pull a Kaba. A big part of it is if you can do it charismatically where people find it funny and entertaining versus you're really annoying and you're being off-putting to the player. Like, yeah, if you're a tournament player, you're gonna have to deal with a crowd. That's a given. Now, that said, there does seem to be a line, a very gray line, I think, as Alex Valle put it, that can be crossed. And if you're, I mean, I think there are a lot of factors that go into it, but if you're being annoying, and like Kaba, I've met him a few times, he's a very nice guy, but he does have his cheering, and if you watch the video, you can attest to this, is like kind of a cross between nails on a chalkboard and like a dying cat. And like that only lasts for so long before it just becomes very annoying and distracting. I mean, it's like,
speaking of distracting, the fuck is
yeah,
that sound?
My dog has allergies. It's perfect. Comments here. No. So yeah, like at the end of the day, you want to be respectful, you know, you want it to be an environment where it really is, you know, the skills of each player being tested against each other instead of the skills of these players. Plus, can you handle, you know, this handicap of Kaba right there in your ear? And going back to the whole NBA thing, yes, there are people yelling and stuff around them, but they're not a foot away right behind them while they're doing this. You know, everyone's restricted to an actual space, a physical limitation where they can't be all that close, you know, with their air horns and their whatevers. So it's not an apples to apples comparison there. And ultimately, I think what it comes down to is respect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the kind of boring, everyone's human and people make mistakes, and there's a difference between cheering in some situations and others' opinion on this as well. I think there's a huge difference in cheering from the crowd, as we've seen with, you know, Joy, Cool Kid's wife, or even Kaba during the Capcom Cup, and what went down here. I think cheering from the crowd, as you said, like in a sporting event during free throws, is unavoidable. It's part of the FGC. I've really never seen anyone cry too hard about it. It seems like something that we all love, you know? I think getting behind someone during such an important tournament match and being this loud after they tell you to stop is going too far. And I don't think anyone can really disagree with that too easily. I think people went. I mean, like, you know, obviously keyboard monsters were extremely racist, ridiculous, bigoted in response to this, and that is complete nonsense. And Kaba came out and apologized, and I think Goichi pretty much accepted it, and hopefully we move on. And I'm very sure Kaba will act differently because of the outcry that occurred from this. However, people took it too far, Kaba took it too far, and I think this will make everyone dial it down, hopefully, for the future.
A learning experience.
I do find it kind of funny that the overwhelming message from last week in the FGC, at least in the Twitterverse, was, "Man, we've gotten too soft. We aren't raw enough." And then this week it's like, "Oh no, we're too raw. Too raw. Put it back in the oven."
Oh man,
I'm gonna have to just bite my tongue on how I felt about the backlash to it. I was very offended.
Well, say it. No, don't bite your tongue.
Well, I mean, what's the point? I mean, I think you pretty much nailed it on the head. It's shameful, I think, the reaction and the way that that Men is being treated.
Oh, yeah. I agree completely.
It's hurtful. It's, I mean, I don't want to sound like a total wet blanket, but I'm like, grow the fuck up. Like, who thinks they have the right to speak to people that way? Call them out and call them out. But don't take it to that level of racism and of, like, ganging up on them. And if you just go to R Kappa, which maybe I just shouldn't do anymore.
I mean, I don't know if they, I don't know if that's the right place to go for compassion. But
I read these comments and I'm just like,
human thought.
Like, who are these losers? Is really how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a good thought to have when people are being racist. Yeah, you're right.
That's all I really care to say about it. It's clear that this dude was like, "Man, I fucked up." There's reports that even other DR people were saying, like, "Dude, you're making us look bad," and that's fine, right? Like, that's all within the category of acceptable responses to this. And feedback is a gift, my guys. But come on, keep it classy, guys. Seriously.
The one thing I want to see come out of this, and I hope that tournaments start enforcing, like, at least we don't have to put players in soundproof booths or anything like that and have like 100 feet between a player and a spectator, but at least have enough room where people aren't right in your ear, people aren't brushing up against your arm during a tournament match, because that's still something that bothers me from this one time at Casuals, not even a tournament. I blocked someone, a Sea Viper's Ultra, and then someone bumped my arm, and I got hit by the second half of it. And that still bothers me. And that should not happen in a tournament. So I'm hoping they force, like, at least give people, like, 2 or 3 feet before the sea of spectators. And then, you know, that lessens the impact of people being obnoxiously loud. Mm-hmm. I just think there's a whole range of positions between keep it just as it is and let's lock these players
up. I agree, because I mean, there's a huge, like, for me personally, you know, I'm very willing to turn around and be like, get the fuck away from me, or I'm gonna call a TO, like, what are you doing, you know? And I'm willing to do that, right?
Sure.
And most of the time I don't even care if you yell in my ear, but it's very different, obviously, when you don't speak English or Spanish and some guy is screaming behind you in your ear and you don't really know how to communicate to them to stop, and you try and he doesn't stop. I think he did go too far in this case, and as I said, he apologized. Now, people are saying he didn't apologize well, he didn't apologize correctly. I give Kaba some leeway because, I mean, the instant response was, "You're a terrible human being and scum of the earth," which I think was way too far in the first place. And obviously, maybe he responded the wrong way to that, but you have to give him some leeway because, I mean, people really overreacted for sure.
So I don't know if you guys recall when this shit went down and Wolfcrone was getting heckled by some, I think it was the EMP boys or something like that. And, I mean, that's where the meme of Headcrones comes from, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Why is it different here? However,
The main, I mean, it shouldn't be, but I think the big thing was charisma, and it ultimately was Wolfcrone. People saw Wolfcrone as quote unquote deserving maybe a little bit more, and there was so much drama around that, where you have someone like Goichi who most audiences haven't even heard him you know, express himself one way or the other, but he just appears quiet to himself and respectful, and it's like,
depends on which translator is talking to him.
Oh, shit. I think John froze. In the meantime, while we get John back, John, you froze a little bit, but I'm going to... Okay, well, we wait for John to come back because you're a little bit bugged out a little bit. You're back.
Okay. Just really quick.
Yeah, finish it up.
It should be on paper that both players deserve the exact same treatment, but how people are going to conduct themselves Live there in the event. It's going to be based on their perception of the players. And Wolfcrone was, I think, just more so deemed as, with all the drama around him from the past and the current thing with Wolfcrone versus someone who's quiet and more apparently respectful and such like Goichi, you go, you know, it's two different stories at that point. So I think that's what the answer to that
question. Speaking
kind of
conduct, we just so happen to have the CPT Code of Conduct right here. All players are expected to maintain respect for one another. The first rule, no swearing, screaming, or threats. No harassment, violence, collusion, cheating of any sort, intentionally delaying or slowing gameplay, yada, yada, yada. The first one there is screaming. I wonder if you could have just argued this as a... Maybe that's what Goichi should have done. Like, hey, this is a violation of the code of conduct, and just left it there. I would like some arbitration here. So I don't know if that means anything, but alternatively... Check this out. This is T.S. Sabin, or at NYC Furby, if you follow him on Twitter. Noise-canceling headphones, my dude, so it doesn't affect you. If you get rattled by a crowd,
this is a stupid response.
You weren't mentally strong to begin with. 2018 FGC is very soft. That's stupid?
It's outright outrageous.
Why? Like, okay, defend that.
It's very... it can be legitimately hard for someone to play when someone's screaming in their ear. Yes,
man,
that changes
you're so soft,
things.
Mike.
I am
you're
going...
You're soft as shit.
I want... It's not that easy to have noise-canceling headphones all the time. You need to have them yourself. There needs to be an open spot on the PS4 for you to plug them in. It needs to actually work. There's enough power draw issues on PS4s as it is, where plugging in headphones will sometimes unplug someone's stick. I mean, it's... Yes, and if it really bothers you on a small level, you should have headphones, but I mean, to say that... Everything is moot because he didn't is ridiculous.
Mike, you're
everything
so
is
soft.
Mute.
I'm very soft.
I get it. Very mute. It was the opposite of mute. So then what's the damn... it's funny because...
It's over. I think that hopefully it's over. I think it's sad that it had to be like a Dominican player doing it to a Japanese player for people to care. But here it is. And here we are. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
No.
You got nothing?
I got nothing.
All right. At least to get something to talk about, the question of etiquette will probably come up again. It's funny. We have Watson on here in about 15 minutes. He tweeted out an old, 2007, I think, Marvel 2 set from Evo, or 2006 or something like that. And it was when he, quote, had put on rules that you couldn't talk or get hype or anything. And you hear Yipes wanting to get real hyped through the whole fucking thing. It's great. I'm going to ask him about it and see. I mean, what drove in 2006 or 7, if I can't remember what year it was, to implement that rule, right? So it's clear it's been a long-standing issue or concern with varying degrees of success.
And just for the record, I am a huge yeller when my friends play, and I've been asked to stop many times, and I usually leave the room. So... That is my response to these situations usually, because I understand I can be quite annoying when the Austinites are playing.
It's big of you to
only when they're playing.
My worst habit is when I'm playing. I talk a lot.
Oh my goodness! All right, guys, where are we taking it from here? We could do talk about some news. The biggest news, and I know you're super excited about this, is that Combo Breaker has. More entrants for Mortal Kombat 9 this year than it did when it was hosting it, when it
wow.
was popular.
That's the best news ever.
That's pretty cool, right? No, guys, let's talk about the damn patch update that I believe launches tonight.
It's live. You can play it right now.
It's live right now.
So here's a preview of it. You can see it here. This is...
those are basically the notes.
There's this one right here. Preview of Cammy.
Yep, I saw that when I booted it up.
Cammy Gale.
Yeah, there's some questionable things.
This Donka, is to the it's to the point where Cammy players are apologizing. And I'd say this to anyone watching and to any Cammy players specifically watching, if you really feel that bad, switch your character. Let's do a Chris T, a reverse Chris T, and not boycott because the character's bad. Boycott because the character's good, and force Capcom to make a balanced game. Do that, Cammy players. Otherwise, shut up.
I do have to say, credit to Chris T. You know, he started the movement to boycott Ken, and it's taken such hold that Capcom has apparently boycotted Ken.
They signed up?
And he's the only martyr that's still playing Ken. He's decided that, he'll die with the flag.
I mean, it's part of the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. Somebody has to die for the sins of Capcom.
But yeah, quick patch notes. Cammy, you thought that, you know, crouch light kick pushback with Teiwei, her three light string, it did not. It's still there. So don't worry. She didn't get nerfed at all. She only got buffed the way she deserved. Abigail got hammered. That was fair, right? Because I'm a Cammy player now. No, I mean,
Can we say, too, that the crush counter nerf across the board, I think, helps Cammy because she's a low-life character.
And she doesn't really do neutral game crush counters ever.
She doesn't want to do that. Like, she might crush counter you on your DP, but she's not neutraling.
No, it's really good for her, actually. It's huge. No,
it seems kind of weird that they're just... It feels like Capcom is desperately trying to make the game more and more neutral-based. And it just feels weird that they started... so far away from that, and now they're trying almost everything that they can to get back to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, on the one hand, I'm always like the like voice of like, we shouldn't hate each other for our characters, everyone complains, everyone does this, everyone does that. I personally don't like this patch, you know, I'm gonna move on, I've already moved on. But my overall viewpoint of this patch is that unfortunately there are basically very few buffs. I think Zeku and Sakura were the recipients of like the most major buffs in the game. And very few other characters, no mid tiers, no high tiers got buffed at all. So it was basically two very low tier characters got buffed, and then a couple top tiers got nerfed and a couple didn't. And when you look at that across the board and you say, no one relevant got buffed, these characters got nerfed, and these characters stay the same, it's pretty easy to make a tier list from there. There's no real luster. There's no like, oh, maybe mid-tier Chun-Li is going to be top tier now. It's, okay, Abigail and Rashid out, Akuma, Cammy, Minot, still in.
So I
think that you can tell exactly what's going to happen without even having the patch, but maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong.
So, of course, once we sink our teeth into the patch, we'll have more opinions on it. And tomorrow, I mean, next week, a week from today, we might have a little bit more of an informed opinion. However, I wonder if any of these things that seem ludicrous now might have something to do with the upcoming characters, not just Falk, if and when she ever comes, but the rest of them. Do they know something we don't know that required this drastic?
I think they made this patch 2 months ago, and it finally came through now. It's got to be something like that to me. It makes no sense given the current climate, given that three Minots and two Cammies or whatever made top eight. It seems, I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't complain too much about it, but it definitely doesn't fit exactly what people were complaining about. Notably, Abigail, who was by far the most complained about character, got nerfed, and Rashid, who was probably number two, got nerfed very hard as well. Those two characters are... no one could argue they're top tier anymore. So, wow. So maybe it's that will change. No, I mean, I really don't think anyone will argue those two characters are top tier anymore.
All right.
So we'll see how the streams react to that. I think they'll just move on to another scapegoat. So we'll see.
So you were saying that you'll never see, you're going to put money on it.
I will put, okay, you can have four Chun-Li costumes of your choice the next time Abigail makes a premiere top eight this year. Four Chun-Li costumes.
Who are you talking to? Everyone in the chat?
We're going to raffle off to the chat. One chat winner will get four Chun-Li costumes.
If you're holding you to that.
If Abigail makes another CPT premiere top eight this year. I don't think it'll happen.
Premiere top eight.
Okay. With this update. I think there's no chance. I think that character sucks.
How do you really feel, man?
I think he's trash.
Are you going to throw Rashid into that mix, too?
I think Rashid's bad. I think he's a little... he's bad, too. He's not good.
All right. So we're just sticking with Abigail.
Just Abigail, though.
All right.
Because I used to play Abigail. I'm a former Abigail player as of today.
Now, like 801 Strider, for instance, his initial reactions were they got rid of the gimmicks, but Abigail is still a character. He can still do the damage. He just doesn't get it for as free anymore. Kind of something to that effect. And I'm not.
Do we want me to do math right now? I mean, no, we don't. But he lost 100 damage on most of his combos. So that's a lot. That's like a jab combo.
Hey, guys. you know that segment where we block or grab on stuff?
I'm sorry. I've just been yelling about Abigail for a day.
Let's do a block grab.
Block grab.
All right, guys, this week we're doing last week's block grab that we didn't get to, and that is the Darkstalker costumes. Jiri, Yurian, and Minot are getting some Darkstalker themed threads, and we're gonna block or grab on them, starting with Yurian. Block or grab on this, my man.
Now, what is this, like, Donovan? I don't know that. Yeah, this is Donovan, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks sick as hell, bro. What are you kidding?
I think it looks decent. You know, let me see it again. Let me see it one more time.
All right, there you go.
He's got a sword, which is cool. He, like, does he throw it? No, it always stays on his back. I just don't like it. I don't know why. It doesn't fit to me. I'm going to block. It's more beads. It's more stuff. I don't feel like it fits with him at all. I'm going to block.
Tasty Steve would be upset if you said that you don't like it because of the beads.
I don't like it because of the beads.
Ace King offsuit.
Block or grab. You know, you're blocking because of the beads, and, you know, Tasty Steve would grab because of the beads, and seeing as how I'm Wasty Steve, I feel like I have to do the same. So I'm going to grab.
That sounds like you have a drinking problem, just so you know.
I'm not saying I do. I'm not saying I don't.
It's all those damn Diet Dr. Peppers.
Thank you, Please No Bully in the chat. I agree.
What did Please No Bully in the chat say?
He said it looks vacuum sealed. I just don't think it fits. I don't think it looks right on him.
Your opinions are suspect. John, block or grab on this Donovan-themed Urien?
I think that this is an acknowledgement to Darkstalkers fans, and I think that the costume itself turned out looking pretty cool. I think Urien's a good character to do these off of because he's big, he's strong, he's like got a great presence, and he's kind of just like a almost like a blank template, especially since he can take his clothes off, right? You put whatever you want on him, and it looks fine, and I think this looks good. So I think that it's good fan service. I think a lot of people will download this costume. So grab.
All right, moving on to the Anacharis, if I'm pronouncing that right.
So this is actually Anacharis is like she Little has helper. Girl helpers that come out during one of his supers, and she's one of them. Okay. This is by far my favorite of the three. I think the new eyeball-based orb totally fits along. She looks just like the characters that come out to help Anacharis. It fits with her in the first place. It just seems right. I think everything about this makes sense. They did like a niche kind of call out to Darkstalkers, which I think fans appreciate. This is the easiest grab for sure.
Right on. Grabbing on that. Steve? Wasted Steve?
You know, it feels like even if it wasn't part of a Darkstalkers kit, it would fit right at home. You know, it's really well done. It's a gorgeous outfit. I got to grab.
All right.
Like so that snake hand thing, too.
It's badass. No, for sure. And probably tightly wound as well. John, block or grab on this. You look so disappointed just there. Block or grab on this costume, my man.
All the things that the other guys said, but then also, and I guess what you said too, because the fact that you can manipulate little things like Manat's orb, and you can make that kind of like whatever you want, that's really exciting and fun. You know, I think there's a lot of merit in doing Manat costumes, and you know, all the same thing rang true for what I was saying with it being a Darkstalkers homage and everything, and people are going to appreciate it for that. So I don't really see any drawback to this costume. It looks good. I think they did a good job on it, and I think a lot of people are going to download it, so I'll grab that as well.
That's three grabs. All right, and now the one that had some people scratching their heads is Jury as Lilith. Not to be confused with, what's the other chick's name?
Morgan.
The one with the boobs.
So obviously, the jury is missing some assets she usually has here.
Yeah.
There's not much of an explanation for that. A couple things. This costume, like, I mean, there's, it seems weird to me because obviously they redid her model, but then, like, her hair is still Jury's color and not Lilith's. But then, like, they didn't choose Morgan, who would have seemed to be more fitting with Jury. I'm just, like, confused as to how they came to the, we're going to make Jury's tits smaller, and then we're going to do Jury's hair the same, but then we're going to make her Lilith and not more. I don't know. It's just all very weird to me.
I did a little zoom in there for you. Yeah, I feel like considering what people like about Jury and infiltration.
She does the eye patch too. I don't know. It's like she's like inhumanly cosplaying.
She's the worst parts of all the characters that she.
I don't like it. I'm gonna block.
All right. So you're blocking on it.
I'm blocking.
You're blocking here. Okay. Steve, are you gonna block or grab on this Lilith Jury?
All right. I just saw something disturbing from
in the
from
chat.
Someone to chat. Yeah, Phantom EX Death tweeted out a link that shows apparently the chest comes back in her walk animation as she walks forward.
Apparently, you can use the universal costume code to give it back as well. Is what
That's
people
what
are
I
saying
was
in the chat.
Say,
so you can choose. Which
oh,
is a little
that's
weird.
Universal costume, not and not.
No, but like you can do the thing you can do to make Urien take his clothes off. You can do to edit Jury.
All of the new costumes beyond
which somehow
like the
seems sexist
balance.
In some way. So I'm gonna have to block this one.
Steve, are you blocking or grabbing on this?
I don't know.
I don't
There's
know.
So much to take in here. I feel like I'll try to grab, and then there will be nothing to grab.
Oh,
someone had to make a terrible joke that is somewhat sexist as well. I will fall on that sword so that you guys don't.
John, are you going to block or grab on this? Take the high road, my man.
I don't have any jokes now to say, so that upsets me. But Lilith, they paid homage to her as a character, and she's one of the few video game characters that comes to mind that like doesn't have ridiculous boobs, right? And everyone knows sex sells and stuff, so her as a character in general was like, yeah, good for you for like, you know, doing something a little different.
So brave.
And they carried
so brave
over here
Capcom,
in 2018.
Right.
So brave. So stunning and brave. So on bravery, I'll give Capcom a grab for this one. But I mean, I don't really care either way. So whatever. It's fun that we get to have this discussion, make dumb boob jokes. So grab it off of that.
Yeah.
And on
pretty
that
much
note,
every boob joke I have in my arsenal is a dumb boob joke.
Guys, that actually brings us to the end of the panel because we have a guest on. And yes. Nothing like leaving on that note. We have been joined by John Velociraptor Guerrero. He is a Gokken master. He also did really well against Infiltration this weekend. Shout out to him. And he's a great guy. He also writes for EventHubs.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Velociraptor with a 1 instead of an I. Thank you, John, for being a part of the show.
Thanks for having me. Say hi to Watson for me. Tell him I love him and I miss him.
Okay, I will do that. Steve, how you doing, pal?
I've done better. I've done worse.
Okay. Well, that's Steve. These really great schedules for events. So if you follow them on Twitter, you can be in the know on when you're going to watch what you want to watch. Shout-outs to John and Steve for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks.
Adios.
And coming up next is our interview with Mike Watson himself, the man, the myth, the legend, the proud owner of an arcade that just opened.
Oh, yeah.
Not too long ago, after what probably took quite a time to get going. Final thoughts on this etiquette thing or anything else that we might not have touched on? We kind of rushed through some things and we left some things on the table.
Yet again, when you kind of like turn everything into a Twitter argument, you kind of tend to get the polar sides of everything. It's happened in politics and it's happening now. In the FGC. And I would like to reiterate that usually there is a middle ground that can be found when it comes to these things. And usually if people both understand each other and ask nicely enough for something to stop, they'll stop. And that is the future of this.
So
very easily.
Thank you for that. We are now joined by none other than Mike Watson himself. Mike, thank you so much for joining us, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
So just to kick us off, man, the arcade has finally opened. What the hell took so long?
Man, if I can finally go public with everything this city has put me through, it's really worthy of a Netflix fucking original show, man. I tell you, opening a small business in California is probably the toughest thing to do. It's probably the worst place to do it. But they put you through the ringer, man. It's unbelievable. They want this, they want that, and the minute you finish everything, nope, here comes something else. So
I mean,
finally here. They still want some more stuff, but they're letting me open and just do a few more things after I'm open. So that's the good news.
So how long did it actually take to get to this point where you can finally, you know, do an opening on it?
I have been in this location for 2.5 years trying to appease the city. So September of 2015, renting the spot until March of 2018. Wow. And I can open now.
And I remember when we had you on last time, you were in City Hall. You had, like, I guess I can't think of a different way to describe it, but like character witnesses, people on your behalf vouching for you, talking about the importance to a community, a place for the youth to hang out, not be in the streets, all that stuff still wasn't enough. So how much did you have to bribe them?
Dude, I really wish they just asked for money up front. I would have threw them like 10 grand, 20 grand. That would have saved me so much money. It just at this point, it's just, you know. It's crazy, man.
So where, for people who are interested in going to the arcade, tell us about it. Where is it located and, you know, what's in there or what can the people expect?
I'm located at 123 East Foothill Boulevard. We're in Azusa. We're located, if you want to look it up, we're located pretty much next door to the Azusa Police Department, Azusa City Hall. We're right next door to all that stuff. And the difference between this spot and the previous location, well, obviously it's a lot bigger. It's twice the size. The front half of the arcade is a full-on, like, old-school arcade that, you know, takes quarters. I got about 50 machines out there, you know, DDR, some shooters, some racing games, just old-school stuff like that. And then in the back, we have two sets of cubicles now where we used to have one at the old spot. And we also have our fighting games back here. We have, you know, a head-to-head Marvel cabinet, Third Strike cabinet, Super Turbo, and Alpha 3. We have that in the back. So that's for the competitive side. The front's just for the regular arcade board and the I think there's a lot more variety here and a lot more things you can do during your downtime in between matches here. So hopefully that's a positive for the community.
Mike, what kept you at it? Like, why not just, you know, if you're getting so much pushback, 2.5 years, like who's got that kind of dedication and time to put into it? Like, why keep fighting that fight?
I don't know. I mean, as a competitor, I never gave up. I played and played and played till I was the best. And then I tried to keep it up after, and I have that no quit attitude. You know, I'll play till the last pixel is gone. I don't have that give up attitude. But the tough part over here is they give you a false sense of hope. They say, do this and you're done. Do that and you're done. Oh, all you got to do is this. All you got to do is that. And then, like I said, just they come out with more and more stuff, and you kind of get strung along by them. And you know, it took a lot of determination. It was a big stress on me, big stress on my friends and family, but. Like I said, you know, everyone was supportive. We're finally here, and it is what it is. You know, now I just got to build on rebuilding relationships, got to rebuild our brand. And, you know, like, I hope people finally see that, hey, this guy wasn't, you know, this guy wasn't full of shit. All this stuff about asking for spreadsheets and whatnot. Dude, just come over here, dude. I've spent more money than people make in, you know, like 5 or 6 years. And it's just, dude, it's ridiculous. But so it's here now. Let's come and enjoy it together.
So, I mean, obviously you've kind of shown up a lot of people at this point for actually opening it. And for a little bit, I mean, at least you were a bit of a meme, at least on some of the, you know, places on the internet about not opening it, not having it open yet. And what is your plan for rebuilding the relationship? Is it just we're going to hold enough tournaments, people are going to come, or is there anything else? I mean, what's the idea?
You know, I mean, people, they kind of know what we're about. You know, when we always ran tournaments, there was no, how would you say it? There's no separation of pros and whatnot. Like, yeah, we separated the bracket fairly and stuff, but you know, we treated everyone equally. Just because you're a no name in the community, just because you're a newcomer, it didn't matter. We treated you how you treated us. You were nice to us, you're friendly to us, dude. I was friendly to everybody. There was really no, how would you say it? There was no jerks or punks or, like, I get assholes, you know, for lack of better use of words. But there was no people here causing trouble. Everyone was here having fun. There was no sense like, oh, I got to get on stream. I got to do this. I got to look cool and appease this person. And, you know, my sponsor has to see me. There's none of that crap. Everyone was here to get better or to have fun and or both, you know. And it was a fun environment. It was a good environment. And I think we can really bring that back to the community.
You know, there's just a question. And again, I'm not trying to stir the pot, but I'm curious. What is your relationship with Valle? And, you know, he's doing his Wednesday night fights, esports arena stuff. And now you guys are maybe by design or not, but could potentially be competitors for the bodies, right? Because there's only so many competitive fighting game players to go around. And, I mean, is there anything you want to say about that?
Well, let's look at the pros and cons of esports arena, right? The environment, it's, you know, very esports, obviously. It's called esports arena. It doesn't have that homey feel to arcade. If that's what people want, then they can go there. And then, you know, they had a huge budget. They're, you know, I think they spent like probably 300 grand just in renovations alone. They have a big building. Those are the pros. And then, you know, if you're looking for exposure, if you're looking to be Hollywood, hey, then that's your flavor, then go for it, you know? But over here, we're more of a competitive environment. We're more of a have fun, laid back, chill place. We have, like I said, you have half arcade where you can hang out in the middle of matches and stuff. And it's just we're providing a different environment. You want to compete in Street Fighter? Yes, we can have competition over there, competition over here. You want to have fun? It depends what you consider fun. Some people like to, you know, play arcade games. Some people like to hang out. But over there, you have one day a week. Over here, you, in a sense, have a, more of a home. If you like it here, you want to hang out here. You want to practice on Friday nights when we have consoles. You want to come down and practice on any random night. We're here for you. Esports Arena, they're more of just like a rent a venue. They're not. They're there for you for one night. So I guess it just it's up to people to choose. And then another negative towards Esports Arena, their location, they're all the way down south in Orange County. So if you notice, if you watch the stream stuff, a lot of the Los Angeles players that used to be dedicated, they would come to Super Arcade because it was about a 30-minute drive. If you want to go to Esports, it's about an hour and 15-minute drive, depending on traffic in L.A. So I'm almost sure we're going to get most of the L.A. people back here. We have people from the San Fernando Valley, which is, you know, a little bit north of L.A. They're already committed to coming here. So we're going to see how it goes. In terms of fighting for players and whatnot, hey, I mean, I don't mean to make it a blatant like, hey, choose Alex or choose me, but you choose where you want to go. And, you know, we've had phone people ask me, hey, why don't you just pick up the phone and talk to them? We've had phone discussions. He blatantly said, hey, I have a good deal going on with ESA and business is business. And once you hear that, it's like, hey, okay, bro. So we used to be competitors in Street Fighter. Now we're competitors in the tournament organizing scene. And it is what it is. Maybe we can both strive and, you know, survive in this, or maybe we can't, but you know, I'm throwing out everything.
Any plans to just go on a different day if you're doing any kind of weekly or Rambat or anything to that effect? I mean, why compete if you don't have to, right?
Okay, well, if you put it this way. So they started in a garage many, many years ago, right? But then Wednesday Night Fights didn't blow up until it was kind of over at Super Arcade for years. And I took a big loss on, you know, running it here. I pretty much ran it for the community. While one person was making money, I was just barely getting by, you know? So I'm going to bring it back here. After Wednesday Night Fights and us separated back in October of 2014, we were doing fine, you know? We had a silly name, you know, Wednesday Night Fizzites and stuff, but we were doing fine. Like, financially, we were doing better after he left. And, like, we still maintain that fun environment where we don't have anyone to answer to. I don't gotta watch my mouth in a sense where I have to worry I'm going to lose a sponsor if I use the F word or if I drop any bad language or anything like that. We're not worried about that. We're more worried about having fun. And, you know, we want to keep it on a more fun level, I guess, in a sense.
So just before I forget, John Velociraptor Guerrero says, hey, what's up? Tell him hi for me. And he was reminiscing about the fact that he went in there to play once, Street Fighter 4, and you came down and sat next to him and played a set with him and made him feel at home. So shout outs to that. But you're describing the differences, in this case, literally, between Esports Arena and what you have going on at Super Arcade. And that's kind of been in the air as of, I think it kind of started with the Mike Ross AMA and then really hit the ground at NorCal Regionals with respects to the different flavors of FGC, if you will, the different eras even though that hasn't specifically been talked about. I feel like we could get into that here with respects to how it used to be, how it is now. The direction we're going, the direction what we used to be like, or, I mean, I'm an 09er, but the way the OGs used to run things. Before we get too into that, is there anything off the top of your head or anything to start off that topic that comes to your mind?
Well, I mean, someone's obviously chasing the paper here, right? They want to have, you know, all the money that esports can throw at you. And
can you blame somebody for wanting that? I mean, no, this is America,
not,
right?
Definitely not. Everyone has their different motivation. Everyone has their different motives. Everyone has their own agenda. Like, my agenda is I want the FTGC to survive. I want people to grow. I want the players to get better. I want the community. I want to be able to play Street Fighter with people when I want to play Street Fighter and not have to worry, hey, this game's dead, that game's dead, all the games are dead, and we can only watch it on TV. Like, yeah, it's cool, but realistically speaking, the money that's influxed into these tournaments and all this stuff, anybody that's complaining, if you are not the top, like, 0.001% of players in Street Fighter, this money does not affect you at all. You're not taking home a $250,000 check to the Dominican Republic. You're not taking home or providing like a $60,000 donation to NYU College or anything like that. This isn't you. You're not Daigo. You're not, you know, Mena. You're not, you know, whoever the top players are now, Knuckle Dew and those guys, you're not, that's not you. You're a watcher. What do you want to do? Do you want to watch the game or do you want to play the game? And I highly suggest more people get involved in playing. Yeah, it's cool to watch and stuff, but if you play the game, you'll have much more fun, I promise you. You don't have to be a pro. You don't have to be the top player in the world. You can still play this game and have fun, and that's why it's so great. And I just really feel like people got lost in the money, and they think, oh, money's good, but what does that money do for you? Do you get anything out of it? Like, the production's cool. Do you want to see good matches? Let me put it this way. Do you want to see a really, really sick match, or do you want to see an okay match under some neon and Hollywood lights? Like, what's more important to you? I think match quality is better. I'll watch a match in potato quality video that's awesome compared to watching some two scrubs play in like HD 4K, you know? Like, you got to pick your, you got to pick what you want here.
So, I appreciate that opinion and enlightening us there a little bit, but I saw you tweeted out a match between, or it was a Marvel 2 match. Can you remind me what that was? We were talking about the etiquette and people, you know, screaming. Of course, this was after Kaba did all that. Just set that up for us, and then if people want to see it, they can go to your Twitter at Super Arcade.
Okay, so there was a match back in the day. We were in hotel rooms in Evo, right? This is like, I think this is the first year we're in Tropicana. And, you know, they don't want to put up with the shit of gamers, you know? We were barely, like, lucky to get in there and stuff like that. So there was a big money match between this guy named Smooth Viper, which is like one of the top East Coast player, and one of the top West Coast players named Sue Mighty. And man, you know, like East Coast is loud. Like, I'm loud, but these guys, they come in groups. There's like tons of them. There's zombies. Like, when you kill one and they're just more and more coming, they never end. It's fuck you, blah, 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 you suck, blah, 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 scrapes. And like, dude, it was crazy back then. So we had to make a rule. No screaming, no yelling, no talking during the match, because we had to play it in a hotel room because it was after hours. And oh man, you should see like the look on some of these guys' faces. Like, you know, Yipes, everybody knows Yipes is loud and he's hype and he's energetic, and you got Chris Matrix and these guys are all loud and everybody loves this game and everybody's getting hype, and it's like you can't even do golf claps and they're literally like biting their finger. Like, everybody's just trying to respect, and we're just like, dude, it's kind of like you're playing in your grandma's basement, like, at 3 in the morning. You got to be quiet, but you're watching some stuff, and it's so hard to contain yourself. And that's what that match is all about, dude.
So, but was the impetus for the rule the fact that you're in a hotel room, you didn't want to get kicked out, or an etiquette thing, a respect thing, a come on, let's all be civil and not distract each other thing?
You know, I've never told anyone this, but we're supposed to follow the rules of the hotel. I honestly don't think they would have kicked us out, but just for my own sanity, I didn't want to hear that all that shit in my ear. Like, Smooth Viper is such a sick player, and you never know if he won. Oh my god, I would never would have heard the end of it, and I'd rather hear it at like a volume 2 than a volume 12. You know.
How did you feel about that Mena Goichi match with Kaba in the back being loud?
Okay, in terms of being loud, this is my honest opinion. I don't mind people being loud. It's kind of like you're in a sporting environment. You're at the other, you're in like a Raiders stadium, right? You're going to have, you know, Raider Nation yelling in your ear when you're at the end zone. You can't hear play calls and stuff. I have no problem with that. That's how sports are. You want esports? There's a sports part of esports. The thing I do have a problem with is if he was told to be quiet and those are the rules of that particular tournament, then, you know, back off a little bit. You can scream if you're standing behind your buddy, scream into his ear. That's fine. But like, blatantly screaming into the other person's ear, that's a little, yeah, that's going overboard. But just screaming in general, I have zero problem with that. Like, get hype, get in the moment, you know, use that to your advantage. If you got homies that'll scream for you and distract the other opponent, you're not touching them, you're not blowing in their ear, you know, you're not doing anything, that's totally fine. But just don't stand right behind them. That's the only problem I have.
Is the 2018 FGC soft?
Oh, dude, it's beyond soft, man.
Damn, dude. Why do you say that? I mean, for other than the obvious reaction to this Kaba thing.
You know, like, when I was younger, like, you always hear your parents saying, oh, this music sucks, that music sucks. And I think it just rolls into terms, like, all this new social media, everyone has a voice, and everyone thinks they can say whatever they want, but they don't understand the repercussions of anything. Like, something, I don't know if it's been brought up or not, but something I see is, dude, like, okay, Marvel, it might be a shitty game, right? But it is what it is. Let's play it, you know? Let's not kill it. But, dude, this game was literally killed by these, like, online trolls, dude. And it's pretty sad, you know? Like, that's one less game for the FGC to play. We're going to see what we can do with it. But at this point, you know, when you see, like, zero players on Steam and stuff, it is kind of disheartening. So, I don't know. I feel like everybody hides behind a keyboard nowadays, and I think that's what makes it soft. Like, the world is a much, much smaller place with the internet, obviously, and you know, stuff travels in seconds. Like there's nothing that is left unturned anymore. Whatever you want to know, you're informed instantly. So, I mean, it's great in a sense where, you know, in medical technology and everything, and, you know, in terms of that kind of stuff. But I just think too many people hide behind a keyboard. No one comes out and really wants to say what they mean without hiding behind like a different screen name or something like that. And that's probably the only thing that bothers me, man.
So given all this talk of like going too far and what people are doing, are there going to be any ground rules at Super, or is it just going to kind of be like a, you know, see what happens thing?
You know, like we've always had players respect. Like when LTG came down to play Viscount, like I specifically told him, I go, look, man, you can say whatever you want, dude, like talk all the smack you want, but there will be no physical contact whatsoever. Like, and as long as you respect that, then we're not going to have a problem. As long as nobody lays a hand on the other person, I have no problem with shit talking. I have no problem with anything like that. If it goes a little too far, there's obvious, you know, like there's obvious points. Like you don't want to talk to like some 18-year-old kid and you got like some 30-year-old like Abigail looking dude all swole and shit like yelling in his face. You can't have that. But I mean, like, you know, just general shit talking. And, you know, I think that's part of the game. Like that's part of the game, and we'll just let it rock. But don't get in people's face. Don't. No physical contact whatsoever, and I think those rules implied now will be fine for the long term.
Mike, what if you had to say your game, right, from all your experience and history as a fighting game player in your competitive days to now your business owner days, what's your game?
What's my game? Like, just pick one game in general?
Yeah. Like, is it Third Strike or ST or I don't know what, or Marvel, or, like, if you had to say, what was your game?
Well, my favorite game to watch and to play at, like, you know, a level is probably Marvel 2. That's my absolute, absolute favorite game, like, in fighting games. It's fast-paced, it's broken as hell, but we still appreciate it. You know, that's another thing. We don't ask for nerfs for all these new kids. Oh, please fucking patch this, patch that. No, dude, just deal with that, dude. Like, we dealt with Cable Hyper Viper beams every fucking tournament. You make one mistake and Ducto shoots you in your ass and you're dead, you know? Like, come on, man, just deal with it. Like, it makes you stronger. Like, all these kids, if they can't beat something, they're either joining it or they're crying about it and trying to fix it. Like, I think that's another point to make with the newer kids. Like, they're not as mentally strong as we were back then, I think.
Now, so, I don't know. Like you said. Did ST, Balrog, and Vega players get hate like Abigail players do now? I mean, how different were things back then as far as, like, character strength and people's reactions and...
You know, we can take it all the way back to Champion Edition where Bison was a right. One-touch kill right. character when you're, like, a... When you're, you know, playing, you hit one double kick, the whole round's over. So, I mean, this is nothing new. Like, overpowered is nothing new in fighting games. It's just, like I said, we just deal with it and, you know, we move on. Like,
now, did people hate Bison players, though, in CE? Or was it just kind of like people pick Bison and we deal with it because it's supposed to, you know, he's too good?
I mean, he's good. Use him then. But then, yeah. Then you got guys like Tomo who play Guile as a counter to Bison and... He beats Bison. Like, he was the number one player in Champion Edition where I was the number two and I was Bison. I wasn't the number one player. So it's obviously beatable. I don't think the skill gap was too far different, but I don't know. I think kids are just whiny nowadays and you just got to put in the work. Like, you guys got training mode. Like, we had no training mode. Our training mode was putting a quarter in and getting our ass kicked. You guys got training mode. You can train the dummy to fucking hit the same move over and over and counter it. Like, you have all the tools. Like, your brain is just there. You got to figure it out. You know, it's just a puzzle. Just figure out the puzzle and become a better player.
I didn't set it up right, but I was going to, just to troll you a little bit, ask, what game would you challenge Valle in to, you know, settle it the man's way in a set?
Okay, so any game before Alpha 2, I was better than him. Hands down, right? Alpha 2, he was the best in the world in Alpha 2. In the world, okay, guys? You guys remember that. I give him props. He was the best in the world at Alpha 2. And then Alpha 3, we're about even. Third Strike, I got him. CVS2, he got me, and then four and on, he's got me. I don't really put in much time, but that's not an excuse, but I'll give him credit. After that, he's got me. So if we play across the whole spectrum, I'm gonna tell you this, dude, it's gonna be really, really even, dude. It's gonna be like so close.
And you know, I bring that up really because there was this AMA that Mike Ross did, and I know that Mike Ross and you had a relationship or have a relationship, and some of the things that he was bringing up there were, I don't recognize this FGC. I don't like the direction that esports has taken us in, and so on. Do you have any thoughts on that before I ask you any more specific questions on it?
You know, like I was saying, some people are paper chasing, and it's nice that companies throw in money, I'm not going to lie. Like, Twitch has given us money to run a tournament and stuff, and it's great, right? But then you get lost in the money. Like, what are you after? Do you play for the love of the game? Are you playing to make a couple bucks? Everyone has their own agenda. And it's just really what you want, you know? Like, I had a lot of fun playing Street Fighter. Like, I met a lot of friends through competition, and it made me who I am today, like a no-quit attitude. And I don't know, like, it's just... It really depends. Everyone's different, you know, and it's great that a game can offer so much stuff, but now I think the scary part is once the money runs out, then what happens? You guys got to look at the big picture. Let's say Capcom stops throwing Pro Tours. Let's say, you know, there's no more E-League and there's no more $200,000 or $100,000 first place money. Where do you go from there? Do you quit playing the game because there's no money, or do you keep playing it for the love? And if anything, it's like, dude, you're kind of selling out. And you got to realize this is a hobby. This is something for fun. Very few people can make money doing it. So all these guys asking for it to be esports, do you really want what you're asking for? Do you know what the end picture is? The end picture is like a corporate buyout where there's no more locals. If you look at it now, even like before Super Close, you know, Justin and those guys, they used to come to tournaments. And, dude, Justin lived literally 5 minutes from Super Arcade. But you don't see him at the tournaments very often because – there's no $3,000 payout. There's no $1,000 prize for that night. You don't see him there because the money's not there. So what do you want? You know, you got to think of it. Like, what do you really want? Is it cool for them to make money? Hell yeah. They put in the time. They're the best in the world at the games. They deserve to get paid. But then there's always a poison to everything, you know? And what are we sacrificing? We're sacrificing some of the love of the game. We're sacrificing, you know, just everything's becoming Hollywood. And is that what we really want? So I guess I'm giving people the option. Let's have a home here. Like I said, we're not here one day a week. We're here every day. You want to come play? You want to come hang out? Like, we're here. We're not Hollywood. We talk to anyone. We make newcomers feel welcome. That's what we're here for. We're not here to put on a show. And, you know, like, if that's what they want to do, if that's what they're trying to put on a show, cool. They're doing a good job. People watch it, and they're putting on a show. But how does that benefit the rest of the community? We got to ask ourselves. And,
you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. Go ahead, bro.
So, like, when the 09 era happened, I feel like probably a lot of people were excited. Like, the OGs were, you know, I was like, damn, there's a lot of life coming back in. Were you excited, and has that perception changed at all?
So, I actually got back in the game because people were talking shit. Like, that's my motivation factor to get better, right? And there was this thing between, you know, Gutex, he got good at the game, and he, you know, he won the big tournament, and then... You know, he just starts, you know, talking shit because I guess as old school players, we just talk shit. And he was part of, you know, in between the old school and new school. And he was, you know, he was feeling himself, and that motivated me to play. And I was like, fuck, there's some money involved. And then all of a sudden there's like this tournament with a $40 buy-in at Nucleus Museum or whatever it's called, an art gallery. I was like, fuck yeah, I'll play that shit, dude. And then we played, and I wound up getting second. And I was like, damn, that's pretty nice. You know, I won like $350 that night when we split the pot with the Happy Tang. So it was pretty cool. Actually, we split like 1,100, so it was like 550 between us just for playing Street Fighter. And I was like, damn, that's pretty nice, because we used to travel out of town, and we'd be lucky to win like two or three tournaments first place. We'd be lucky if we broke even on flight and travel and food and everything. So that was kind of cool in the beginning, but then it kind of started rolling out of control, you know. And like I said, it felt like a corporate takeover, and you know, I'm not cool with that.
Now, is there a way that corporations could come in and give us money in a way that you would approve of? Like, how does that look?
You know, I like how some of these TOs do it, like Keats and these guys, and like the latest E-League, I guess, what game was it, Injustice or something, where they had a big prize pool, but they broke it down, like where 7th and 8th place, or tied for 7th, you got $1,000, and the spread was a little bit lower, spread out. You don't have to give first place like 20 grand, and then like 8th place gets nothing. I like it when they spread out the money. That's really cool, and I think if they do it that way, it doesn't really affect the players too much, and it'll still keep people motivated. Because think about it. If you're the fourth best guy at the game, why are you going to go and spend money and travel to a tournament if you know you're not going to get top three and you have $0? Like, I think that's a bad thing. But having an equal breakdown, I think, helps if they're going to distribute money amongst the community. I think that's cool.
What about, I mean, as a TO, if a company is like, I'll give you 10 grand for this tournament, what would make you not take it?
It's hard to say I'll reject money, and people can call bullshit on me, but there's certain people I just won't take money from.
Okay.
It depends what they're about. You know, are they here to stick with us long term? what are they asking from us? Like, I had a pretty big company. I don't want to name who they are because I don't want to put them on blast, but there's a pretty big company that's still involved in the FGC. When I kind of needed a few bucks to finish the place, I was asking them, hey, do you have any options for me? You know, do you guys feel like I'm influxing some money in here and see what I can do for you? And dude, they blatantly said, we'll give you 30 grand, but we want full use of your venue on any weekend of our choice at any time. And I was like, bro, I'm not going to sell out for 30 grand. That's like chump change. Like, I have 300 grand in here. I'm going to give you full access and full everything for 30 grand. So it was like, it was one of those things where I'm like, dude, I'd rather go hustle, go, you know, sell some cars, go play some poker, make some money, than have to take the 30 grand from this company and give them full power over everything. And another thing I don't like, I don't know if it's going to come back to me or not, but I don't like how the fact that Capcom kind of took over, like, streaming the final eight from all these tournaments nowadays. Like, when I first heard about it, I was like, damn. And I know the offer was real low. I know they were giving them like $2,000 or something really small like that when it first came out. I don't know what the money is now, but for them to take away like the top eight from you know, final round or top eight from NCR or SCR or any of these tournaments, like, I think that's kind of like they just bullied their way. Like, hey, this is our game. It's going to be like this. Take it or leave it, or you can't stream our game.
I mean, they have the right to do that, though, right?
We've been streaming the game for years. Imagine if nobody streamed their game. Mm. Would they even have this opportunity? Would they even have the thought of doing this? They just put the game out. They make their money, and that's what they're happy with. And I think they got greedy in a sense by doing that. But like I said, I mean, it's just my opinion, and I don't even know, man. It is what it is, right? And then I know for a fact, Evo, they wanted to take away a certain amount of games from Evo, and Evo's like, hell no. And then they made it get down to like a top eight or something like that. But I know they wanted like to take like the top 64 or something like that away from Evo viewers, and I know that was fought for by that crew. So
I don't want to end on doom and gloom, but you haven't given us a lot of real talk here. I'm just curious, to wrap up this interview, if you can just give us what your prognosis is for where we're headed as the FGC, what do you think will happen, you know, 5 years from now?
It's really hard to say. I'm in this for the long haul right now. I'm probably going to buy this building if everything goes okay. It doesn't even have to go well. Just go okay. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure the community is still around. I'm going to keep running tournaments. I'm going to keep charging a very small venue fee, enough to just, you know, stick around. If money gets influxed, then that money will get kicked down to the players, to, you know, to people that deserve it. But I don't know. Like, I see a lot of selling out. I see a lot of people willing to, you know, turn over all their power to Capcom. I don't know. I don't know who's going to be running Capcom. I know they just got rid of, you know, or Combo Fiend left. I don't know exactly what went down, or I'd rather not talk about it. I know Capcom's out of there. Seth has been out of there. We had some good people in Capcom, and now it's like, I don't know. I don't know who's in charge over there right now. Hopefully, you know, they'll keep it up. Like, games are very important to a lot of people, and I hope it just doesn't go, like, down to, like, this free-to-play fucking model and all this, like, LOL and Dota. I hope it doesn't wind up like, I hope fighters stay strong, and I hope they keep producing good games. And, you know, who knows? We got the new Soul Calibur coming out. Maybe Street Fighter VI will be more of a fan, I don't know, more friendly to the fans. I don't know. I know people don't like 5 right now, so I hope they do something about it. So we'll see.
Right on, dog. Anything else you want to leave us with before we say goodbye?
No. Thanks for putting me on.
Absolutely,
you know,
man.
We're gonna be running our tournament next Wednesday, guys. You know, if you can show up, cool. Come support us, and we'll always promise you a competitive environment, a friendly environment, and, you know, we don't even got all the lights and the glass.
Uh-oh. The Cap Cops came in and cut his internet. Watson, are you there? Mike, can you hear us? You can follow Mike at Super Dojo on Twitter. Follow him and get updates on the tournament or his happenings there at the God bless, chat's going nuts over this. Sorry, Mike, that you got cut off there. It doesn't look like he's unfrozen, but
they are having their tournament this Wednesday.
They're having their tournament this Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, I think.
Right, correct. A week from, well, we can ask him on Twitter, but shout outs to Mike for coming on. I think Skype just died on us. We do appreciate his time, his thoughts. It's interesting. It's kind of like, you know, Star Wars analogy, the Force. You got the light side and the dark side, and they keep each other in balance. I think that we needed a Mike Watson and even a Mike Ross AMA to kind of check us all and keep us grounded and maybe add some context.
Certainly. There's a lot of Pro Tour left for 2018, and hopefully more pro tours for the future.
I hope so. And, you know, not to sound so one-sided, I am super excited about the CPT. It has been exciting. I did fall asleep during NCR Grand Finals, but there's been great moments and a lot to talk about and a lot to be excited about. So we want to thank you guys for watching. This has been Best of Five. We do it every Tuesday. Thank you for everybody who subbed and followed, and join us next week.